My people. Oh, yeah. Come on, Gada. Let's put it on my gist, Maya. So, we're talking about this mental awareness of something. Can you imagine your household? People will just be having trauma up and down. Nobody's talking to each other. Nobody. And you are resenting 15, 20, 30 years later. You are proud of yourself that you don't talk to your father, you don't talk to your mother. And let me tell you something, look. You have to take care of your own health. It's for your own benefit. So please, go and talk to somebody. And don't allow anybody's culture to ruin you. You have a future.
Welcome back to Niger Girl Talks. It's your host, Olamide Ayanda. On today's episode, I have two brand new cast members to focus on the topic of mental health in the Nigerian community. I was thinking since it's May, it would be right to honor and observe mental health and the stigmas and barriers we might face in the Nigerian community around that topic. So I have two brand new cast members. And I love them so much, and I want them to introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. I'm Toya C. I'm a graduate from the University of Maryland for the Couple and Family Therapy Program, and I'm really excited to be here and talk to you guys.
And our other guest?
My name is Daniel Karambade, and I am studying counseling psychology at Bowie State University.
Yes. Before we dig any further into the topic, we do something called the talk, where we go around sharing what we're talking about, what we're gisting about in our communities. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. So what I want to talk about is the fact that Memorial Day weekend, everyone was acting like nothing was wrong. No masks. I didn't see everything. I'm confused
because it's a pandemic, yet people are risking it all for a hamburger.
Right.
It's true. I did that too.
What are you talking about, Daniel?
What I'm talking about is The Last Dance. Michael Jordan is the man. He's better than LeBron.
Wait. I agree, but we might cause some issues with that. But yeah, I didn't get to watch it yet. I watched like clips of it, but I really like how they told his story. I'm going to catch up on it.
You should.
I know. As a Nike fan, as a Jordan fan, I owe it to myself to watch The Last Dance. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about a lot of things, actually. I'm talking about a lot of things. But one of them is, Reese today was this around police brutality.
Yeah.
And that's the next podcast. But we're talking about that. And just like, sometimes as Nigerians, some people don't identify with the Black struggle in America. Though if somebody sees us that's white or that's not Black, sees us, they automatically assume that we're Black. And it's like, why don't you identify with your brothers and sisters? Like, okay, yeah, you might have a heritage back home that you're familiar with, but end of the day, we're still part of the Black diaspora. So that's what I'm gonna talk about. And just how even the body of Christ, like, hello, what is you doing? Jesus died for everybody. He died for injustice as well. So that's what we're talking about. I'm talking about with my friends. And before we go any further, I want to share that Toya C and Daniel are comedians. So expect to laugh, even though it's a serious topic. These people are comedians. My first topic is, because when I met you guys, I'm just like, how did y'all, as Nigerian Americans, get into mental health and counseling? Like, what was your family's reaction? What did they say? What was everybody's take on that?
Honestly, my parents were like, what? Literally, I had no intentions. I had an intention of being a lawyer, you know, one of the things that are acceptable. And then I looked at that bar prep plan and I was like, yeah, this ain't seeming right anymore. So I went to undergrad psychology major, and I don't know, I just fell in love with hearing people's stories and wanting to help them and wanting to be an advocate for other people. And I just kind of from there started working with teenagers, and I just kind of loved it and decided I wanted to do therapy with families and couples.
And you, Daniel?
So at first, I did not want to do it as well. I wanted to do music, just full blown out music. I wanted to tour, play drums. I played drums. So I was like, yeah, Dad, this is what I'm going to do. And he was like, ah, Daniel, what? You are, no way. You have to pick something now. Pick it. I'm picking fast. So I was in 10th grade in high school. So I was like, man, okay, if I can't do music, what else can I do? And it was psychology. I said, you know what? I actually desire to study people's behavior. Like, I want to know why someone did what they did or in different things of that nature. So I said, all right, cool. I'm going to go into psychology, selected psychology. I didn't know what specific role I wanted to go into. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me this one. I was a junior. No, I was actually, yeah, I was a sophomore in college as well at Bowie State again. And I was like, God, which one do I go into? And I was like, okay, yeah, I want to go into family and marriage counseling as well. So, yeah, the Lord just did that for me. And now I'm here.
I remember one time I was having a rough day, and Daniel called me. I think we were planning Sam's birthday brunch. And Daniel was like, whoa, Alameda, are you okay? And the way he said it was like a dad. And then I later found out that he was a psychology major, and I was like, it makes sense. It just makes sense. And I just love how y'all said that you found your purpose, your major, your studies, doing things that you loved. And you realized like, oh, I thoroughly enjoy doing this, and I'm going to make a living out of it, as opposed to be like, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor because, you know, it makes money and because my parents told me. But you found your purpose in things that you're already involved in.
Right.
So my next question is, how does the Nigerian community portray mental health in your opinion?
I think the Nigerians, they portray it as something demonic. I know for me, like, oh my goodness. I remember I said something. I was like, I think I was like 19, and I was talking to my dad. I said, Dad, you know, I think you might need counseling. He said, what? What? Daniel, me? Why you? You are, what? He wanted to kill me.
You offended him just, at this point.
Yeah, I offended him. And I didn't even know, like, I'm like, no, I was taught that counseling and therapy, you know, it's good for you. It can heal you and different things of that nature. Like mentally, it can heal you, or emotionally, it can heal you. And it's good. So when I said it, he just was so offended. And one thing after he calmed down, like 2 weeks later, right? He was just like, he's like, Daniel, you got to understand, like, our people, the way we see it is as, like, I have an illness. Something is like I can't function. It's just like, it's an insult. It's as if I'm lame or something like that. And I was just like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't understand it. I didn't know. And at that moment, I was more sensitive to that generation before me or any
That's
of us.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it.
I definitely think people in our culture see mental illness as consistently debilitating. And I think that's part of the problem, because we hear mental illness, you just think of Nigerian movie, somebody's running carrying bottles, and you think, you know, somebody put a curse on them and so that's why they lost their mind.
Yeah, yeah,
that happens, but sometimes we just experience trauma, sometimes we just experience pain and we don't know how to process it, and you need someone to hear you. I know for me, like, it can get exhausting hearing people's problems all the time and not having someone somewhere for me to go. So I just being able to express yourself to people that, you know, are trained to do that, instead of your friends who after a while will be like, okay, I'm tired. I think it's way more than just, oh, you have a debilitating diagnosis. And our community just doesn't see it that way most of the time.
I think the issue also is that people forget that the brain is also an organ.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get your heart checked out, your kidney, your liver checked out, and your lungs during your physicals, and your blood work, you check annually to see if you're healthy. Right. People forget that the brain is like the most powerful organ in the body. Like, it's always working.
Yes.
When you're sleeping, your brain is still working. And we have experiences that do scar us from childhood to adulthood, mm-hmm. and people forget that. People don't realize that these events that maybe happen when you're 5 years old can be the reason why at 30 years old you have certain issues.
Right.
And it's just like, right. when they think mental is like juju, curse, mm-hmm. you lost your mind, Otiyawere, like,
yeah, that's it.
But it's really like you can have anxiety, you can have you can be like withdrawn from society, you can like even like the whole we talk about orphan spirit, mm-hmm. that's something that's mental, withdrawals, mental depression, mm-hmm. even like being a perfectionist is anxiety,
mm-hmm. yeah,
that,
yeah,
and they don't see that as mental, it's just like it's coming from the brain, like it needs to be treated. So, like, right. I guess. There's not a, like you said, there's not a good depiction of what mental health looks like mm-hmm. besides the movies. Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody's taking the movies like it's the Bible, it's the manual for life. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Next right. question. Is there any mental health stigma? I guess we were talking about that. Number four. Okay, talk about how do you see well, in our community, how do you see mental health and religion being conflicting mm-hmm. when in reality we know that it goes hand in hand?
Yeah, I think sometimes we get confused and think that one has to negate the other, or one, if you have one, you can't have the other, because it's like we choose which one is to blame, and depending on what is to blame, they both can't coexist. Mm. And I believe that, you know, in the Bible, there were examples of people having illnesses that were explained through, you know, demons and spirits. But I think we also have to understand that can manifest in mental health. You know, there was the story in the Bible of the boy who was cursed with legions, and it caused him to convulse, you know, and cut himself. And that is a medical illness that we see today. And yes, there's evidence of that in the Bible, but that still also traces to mental health as well. And I think often it feels like those two things can't exist, coexist, and so we get confused by them.
Yeah, I believe the Bible actually affirms the school of the psyche. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what I'm saying is the Bible, oftentimes I hear God, like I see that God is saying, hey, to a prophet, think about your ways. Like, and to Haggai, God says, think about your ways, not pray. Not fast, not do all these things that we like, okay, maybe if I do 40 days of prayer and fasting and do a worship night, maybe God is gonna fix my ways. No, God is like, yo, renew your mind, right? You have to do these things. And oftentimes we don't understand as Christians, that's what I mean by we as Christians, sometimes we over spiritualize the simplicity of the mind. So what I'm saying is like, okay, if there's certain thoughts, school of thoughts that I have, it's going to affect my life. It's going to. As much as I say, well, I pray every day, I fast every day, I go to church every weekend, all these different things. It's like, no, boo-boo, you still got some things to handle in your mind. Yeah. Your daddy left you when you were 6 years old. Let's address this. Don't try to pray your way. Let's talk about it, yeah. You know? So I think a lot of times that's the issue, where we don't understand the separation mm-hmm. because God is affirming like, hey, this is the moment where you have to address your mind. And mm-hmm. this is the moment you need to address your spirit, man. Mm-hmm. You know, does that make sense? I don't know if that was really clear, but yeah, I think that's what we have to talk about as a body.
You're absolutely right. And I think a misconception is what happens in therapy. I know one of the main mindsets and one of the main theories that I follow as a therapist is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is founded off of the mindset that everything comes from your thoughts. You know, your thoughts impact your actions and your actions impact how you feel. It's all interworking. It all works together. And the Bible literally says, you know, so a man thinketh, so is he. And so in therapy, I teach my clients to deconstruct their mindsets. Literally, like, everything is about attacking those mindsets that are lies. And that's literally what we're taught to do as Christians, you know. What are you thinking? What are you speaking? And that's exactly what happens in therapy. But because, you know, we've been taught to think therapy is one way, we don't realize that it's not all the time just a diagnosis. There's more to it than that.
And I think that's also an issue that, back to the previous question, like, mm-hmm. people think with mental health, there has to be a diagnosis, mm-hmm. as opposed to like, I'm just talking to like clear my mind and not be burdened by the ways of life, the issues of life. People think, if I go to see this person, they're going to give me schizophrenia, they're going to give me bipolar, but it's like, you can just go, let it go. I think people think that with anything health, there has to be a diagnosis at the end of the, mm-hmm. end of the appointment, mm-hmm. but that's not always the case. You can not have a mental illness and still go to therapy. And I think that's also, people align mental health illness with going, mm-hmm. being like the reason to go to mental therapy, mm-hmm. Mental counseling as well. And yeah, it's not really the case, but our generation or our culture doesn't really have the, I guess, the best infrastructure when it comes to counseling. Mm-hmm. But there's people like you guys that are paving the way, you know.
Amen.
I had a question about it, but okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question. So I've heard that sometimes there's always like a chemical imbalance in someone's body or mind that causes them to be diagnosed with a mental illness. Can you guys talk about that?
Yeah, so there is chemical imbalances, like overproduction of dopamine, for example, like it causes certain responses, like just because it's not, for a lack of better word, it's not normal, the normal I don't want to say dosage, it's level? Just not the yes that's a good word, it's just not the normal level for the average person, you see what I mean? So it's like there's different neurotransmitters as well, like in functioning, like when it's not functioning clearly, or when there's an abnormality, that's what we call it, an abnormality within neurotransmitters there, that's where you have certain disorders that fall into place. So for example, if my memory doesn't fail me, a lack of serotonin would be your cause for depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to remember these things because
Go ahead.
Okay, that's it. Okay, awesome. So it's like, yeah, when we don't have, I'm not just talking about having depressive symptoms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not just talking about that, but I'm actually talking about the disorder where it interrupts your daily living. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when it interrupts your daily living. Like when we have those chemical imbalances, it doesn't enable us to do those normal things. Like, okay, like, man, every single blessed day for the past 6 months, this is the DSM-5, the manual for those chemical imbalances, just those disorders, right? They say, okay, based on this, like these periods of time for 6 months, let me go with that time period. For 6 months, this person every single day says, you know what, I don't feel like getting up. I don't want to get up. For Africans, I know one of my uncles, I heard one of my uncles literally, this is the language you always use. Oh man, I just want to kill myself sometimes because this thing is killing me. I'll be like, dang boy, how many things is gonna kill you? Like, but we have to ask ourselves, like, man, like, is that normal? Is that really normal? Or what's the heart behind it? No, like this man, he's low-key suicidal because there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
And the pressure comes from that, like, us African people, look at our diets. Like, for example, our diets, that can mess up your chemical fluctuating. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, that can mess it up. And while that keeps going, as we're training ourselves, I believe as you keep practicing something, that becomes your lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. So these people are practicing those bad habits, if you will. They're practicing these things. And what's happening is they're saying, okay, you know what? This is what it becomes. And this is where a diagnosis comes into play. You see what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Putting that degree to work. Okay. Okay.
I'm trying. It's hard. It's hard to remember that stuff.
You're doing a good job. Okay, next question. What are some signs that indicate that someone should seek professional help?
Yeah, so I think that goes into like consistency with issues. I think if you're experiencing something that seems, one, debilitating, so that's getting in the way of your regular daily functioning, that's when you should start thinking, like, this is seeming more than just a temporary problem, right? So let's say, like, for instance, we're all kind of in a stay-at-home order right now. It's normal for people to possibly be experiencing lower levels of energy, lower levels of motivation because you're not getting as much sunlight. You know, there's things to it that are normal. Now, if that is causing, now if that regular lack of motivation is now causing you to not want to do your work, you don't want to do any of the things that are normal in your day, and it's now causing, you know, maybe you're having intrusive thoughts, negative intrusive thoughts, it's getting in the way of maybe you eating normal daily function, like showering for excessive periods of time. That's when you start thinking, okay, this isn't just my situational issue, but now this is impacting more areas of my life. I know one of the things we say people should look for if you're struggling with depression is if, you know, you start struggling with personal hygiene, because that's often one of the first factors, right? So if you aren't bathing, if you aren't showering, now I know people are saying with Corona, they're not showering for a couple days or two.
That's their business.
Yeah, that's a bit different. But I'm talking like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's getting to weeks. You aren't bathing. You aren't eating properly. You aren't brushing your teeth. That is when things are now becoming debilitating. Also, if you find yourself lashing out or about things, or things are bothering you that you're like, okay, this isn't just me. Like, this isn't just a situation. Like, this is really, really impacting me. That's when it's like, okay, perhaps I should seek professional help. When these things are impacting not only your daily functioning, but like your situations in life.
Okay. Thank you. Anything you want to add, Daniel?
Yeah, I think the key word there is consistency. Mm-hmm. Like consistency. Like if you see this thing over a period of time, it's like, I stop neglecting these things. Like in the African like diaspora, what we love to do is procrastinate our mental health. We love to push it off.
You do.
Because we're so distracted by, let me be real, we're so distracted about making money. Mm-hmm. That's yes. What it is. We're so focused on like, if I don't walk on my where my family eats, like that's the real, like, and I believe that's what's killing us, man.
It's literally,
right? Like, it's literally killing us. And I think it's really unfortunate that we're not looking at these things. I think intervention is better than prevention. Mm-hmm. Like, let's intervene before we can even prevent this from happening. You see what I'm saying? Before this thing takes off, let's talk about it. So, yeah, one thing, just summing up the point is, like, man, consistency is really the thing. If you see someone's continuously saying, hey, man, like, I just want to kill myself. Like, my uncle, like, man, this thing is killing me. 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 I'm like, all right, man, like, uncle, like, I don't think this is normal. Let's address this. Like, you know, let's
talk about this, sir. When they say Otisumi, like,
Otisumi God, Otisumi, yeah, yeah.
It's like, wait.
Yeah.
One time my aunt says that, my grandma started reacting like, what? Uh-huh. I was like,
walk by me, hey. That's so dramatic. But it's like, it's funny how like mental health is between the generations. Like they notice it. Like they want to step in as soon as they see something weird, like, they'd be like, hey,
cut it out.
This is weird. Stop being weird. Stop it. So I think that's interesting too.
I'm glad you brought that point up, because my next question is, how can we, as this generation, change the narrative around mental health in the Nigerian community?
I think the first step is to allow people to speak on it without dismissing how they feel.
Oh yes. God, yes. Come on, man. Talk about it.
I know, like, I remember my dad shared with me a pastor who spoke to his congregation and said, you know, I've been struggling with suicidal and depressive thoughts. And immediately, you know, there was that response from Africans like, what do you mean you're depressed? You have money? People in Nigeria are depressed. You have money? You have food on your back? How can you be depressed?
I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
Like, pastors come in now and sharing the burden, and everybody's like, you have money, you have family, you have a wife, you have kids.
Yeah.
How can you be depressed?
Yeah.
Like, material things make who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And there's more to life than, like, you know, external factors. You can be blessed with every external factor in the world and still be depressed. You know, we hear about rich people who are suicidal all the time. So it's not just about money. So I think the first thing is to stop dismissing. I think the next thing is for people to be more honest. Like, if you know you're seeking therapy, don't be ashamed to tell your friends that you're seeking therapy. If you know you're struggling with the issue, don't be ashamed to tell your friends, like, you know what, like, I realize that, you know, because of the experiences I had with my parents, I may need to see someone. I told my friends straight up, like, if I'm going to be in therapy, know that I'm going to have a therapist, because I don't want to, every time my clients are stressing me out, I start pouring all that stuff on y'all, because that, you know, that's a lot for y'all to handle. And so it's really important to just be honest. And yeah, just stop dismissing people when they express themselves. I think that's
By doing that, we actually prevent people from seeking the help they need, and the cycle continues to happen.
I think also what we need to do is, I think there's multiple things. I love that question, because I think there's multiple things that can change the trajectory of how we perceive mental health, especially in the African. I think that pastors, number one, have the most influential platform for every African. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I truly believe that, but I truly believe, like look how our people take care of pastors. They love pastors. You see what I'm saying? Like they be like, pastor. So if our pastors begin to use these, instead of talking about how we can get blessed monetarily, let's talk about how we can be blessed mentally.
The soul being taken care of.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Like, let's take this time. Let's do a series of the mind. Like, I know one church does it. Like, they do it. Matthew Stevenson, All Nations, like his church, he talks about it. I'm like, dang, I don't see that in the African community, because like I said, like, it's, they just don't take it that much serious, because it also alludes to a point that, like, hey, you have a flaw. Like, every human hates that.
Come on.
You know, especially African. Like, Africans don't like to admit that.
Nigerian.
Nigerians.
And me can.
Yeah. They be like, one basoto me. Me, how can I be lacking this thing? Like, no, I can't be like, I'm on Baba. Baba la dura. Me, I can't. No. That's not my portion. But it's just like, unfortunately, right now it is, boo boo. Like, you gotta just deny it, and you gotta just put that off. And I think, yeah. So teaching our influential platforms have to teach these things. They just have to step in, intervene, and say, hey, you know, like, let's stop looking at this thing as bad. Let's start to look at this thing as God wants us to actually address it, so he can bless us. So like one quote I always say, like, stop suppressing and address it. Stop suppressing, start addressing. That's literally what I say all the time. So it's like, I think for the African diaspora, like, that's what we need to do. Like, stop suppressing and start addressing our flaws.
Something you go to anything.
I think I also just want to add the fact that we need to understand that therapy is for more than just mental health issues. Sometimes it's just processing your trauma. Like, in a lot of African households, we've been through trauma. Like, you've seen the house girl get beat up. You've seen your parents fight. You've seen that one cousin that came to live in the house, and then you saw them go through all that stuff. We've seen, growing up, African Nigerian children have experienced and witnessed so much trauma that, whether we know it or not, has impacted the way we think, impacted the way we respond to people. And we need to understand that those things have, they really, really have more of a negative effect on you than you realize. And I think you need to realize that it's okay to process the fact that when someone talks to you, your immediate, you know, response is, who are you talking to? Why are you talking to me like that? You know, our immediate reaction is offense. Our immediate reaction is to get angry, defend ourselves. Why?
What triggered that?
Why am I being triggered right now? Why is this bothering me? Start asking yourself questions.
One thing Daniel said that I really liked was, like, if you say, let's say I'm depressed, right? Mm-hmm. For example, when I was 15, I was really dealing with depression. Mm-hmm. And I came to the kitchen. I was like, Mommy, I think I'm depressed. My mom's making pound of yam, and she stopped what she's doing. Like, I rebuke that. Forbid. Go and drink anointing oil. But my thing is like,
drink it.
I guzzle it down.
Did you drink it though? Did you drink it though?
No, straight from GO. Nah.
Oh my goodness.
But I think Africans, like a lot of Nigerians, think like if they say something about themselves, that's their identity.
Yeah.
But it might just be your current state. Like I might be depressed this season, but that doesn't mean my whole life revolves.
Yes.
My whole existence revolves around depression. It just means.
Yes.
Like, when I, at that age, something happened that made me depressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
My whole life is now under depression, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
And I think when people think they claim something, like, oh, like, for example, when people say, oh, I'm sick. Oh, no, you're strong in Jesus' name.
My enemy is sick, not me.
Baby girl, you're sick. Go take medicine. But that doesn't mean you won't be well after you've been, you know, cared for. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing is like, you know, you're not claiming the state of mental health or mental illness, but you're saying, okay, this is my current situation, my trauma, my experiences are showing me this, and I need to fix it so I no longer can have it as my identity. Go, Daniel.
Yeah, I think also what you just said is really, really, is. I look at it like this. This is why I also love the fact that mental health is established, because it's like this. It's like you can accept that thing, but that doesn't mean there's no way of escape for that very thing that you accept.
Where are you, Pastor?
Come on.
So, like, I don't think people understand that. Like, even for Christians, like, outside of the Nigerian culture, like, we say, oh, no, I'm well in Jesus' name. Boo-boo. You mad that person offended you. Like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Like one thing they also talk about for identifying a disorder in psychology, what they say is first we have to first accept it. Like we have to know that this thing is a thing.
Yeah.
We can't just be like, oh, well, like, let me try to, like Toy C said earlier, we can't dismiss it. We can't just be like, oh, this is not really happening. Well, even if it is happening, no, like, yes, it's happening, but there is a way to solve what is happening right now.
Yes.
So I think that's what we as Africans really have to, let me be more specific, Nigerians, like one thing we have to identify with is our flaws so we mm-hmm. can turn it into a perfection. That's mm-hmm. I think that's the issue.
That's good. Okay. Any more questions? I have one last question
Go ahead. I guess I'm wondering, when people hear like someone is in therapy, if you can tell me just from the other side of the perspective, like what do you most people think like are common issues people go to therapy for?
Well, for me, I automatically think of like maybe mm-hmm. trauma mm-hmm. that's now manifesting in their current life. Mm-hmm. Like maybe childhood trauma that's now affecting their adult life, that's affecting how they interact with certain people mm-hmm. and they're being triggered and they need to deal with things because it's like it's really manifesting. I don't automatically think of like a mental illness, but I just think that they want to, you know, become a better person mentally mm-hmm. and fix their soul mm-hmm. And they're seeking professional help as a resource, as opposed to just talking to a friend. They're seeking actual professional help to help them like be on the right track when it comes to being at peace in their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. The reason I was asking, because I think it's a common misconception of that. And the most common reason someone comes to therapy is actually because they're in a season of transition, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're moving, you're getting married, you're, you know, starting professional life or things like that. Like those are more common reasons people come to therapy, to process change, right? Process transitions. And so I know like I often see a lot of African-American women who are working in predominantly, you know, white spaces. And so they want to have someone who they can process what that process is like. You know, it's hard. Like,
it's good you said that, because that's how I got more into learning about mental health, health and therapy. I follow like a lot of famous Black entrepreneurs mm-hmm. and they talk about like, oh, I went to therapy this week, and then you know mm-hmm. and they share what they learn, and it's like because they're dealing with like you said, white people, or yeah, they're dealing with other, like, men, and mm-hmm. sometimes they're the only black woman in the room, yeah. and they just want to vent or just yeah. share what they're going through, and, you know, they talk about it on their platform, and I'm like, ooh, yeah. I need therapy too, then. If you need it, then I need it. So, yeah.
I think that's my question. My mm-hmm. question is, like, if you've seen, okay, I'm trying to be meticulous with how I ask this question. Okay, I'm just going to ask that. The question is this, like, if you've seen more people, like, influential people, like, do you think if you've seen more influential people going to counseling or admitting they, like, they're doing counseling or therapy or whatever the nature may be, not just marital counseling, but, like, overall counseling, do you think, like, our people will do counseling more or therapy more?
Personally, yes. If they see people that they aspire to be like and people that they want to emulate, and they're also they're taking the initiative to go to therapy, I feel like it'll cause people to be like, okay, if they're doing it, why aren't I doing it? For example, like people that I follow, they're business owners, they have like they're thought leaders, they're creatives, and when they were going to therapy and they basically share like the higher you climb in their field, the more they need therapy. And I was just like, yeah. Well, as a creative, you know, when I started making this podcast, this podcast has really scarred me. And my friend was like, listen, the more you create and put content out there, I'm telling you, the more you're going to need therapy. So people are going to backlash so much. Yeah. People like not agreeing with what I'm doing and stuff like that. It scars you. And people are like, yeah, you need therapy. Like the more you're creating, you're opening yourself to be people giving their unwarranted opinions about you, you know, you're going to need therapy, you know, like you can't really avoid it. So for me, like seeing people that I look aspire to be like going to therapy, just show me the more I need my own therapy as well. So if we see like, Funke, what's her name? Funke, what's her name?
Akin Daly?
Yeah, she goes to therapy.
It's a wrap.
Whoa.
Yeah.
If Shaliwa from Skinny Girl trying to go to therapy, people want to go to therapy too. I think if you're somebody you aspire to be like doing that and you see that, oh, maybe they might be like, oh, maybe her going to therapy helps her where she is in her career and her life. I want to do it too. I think people will make the initiative to take therapy seriously as well.
Yeah. Okay, I have a follow-up question then. Sorry, for both of y'all. I think the follow-up question is this. How, it sounds like counseling or therapy has to become a trend in order for people to do it. Mm-hmm. So how do we make it a trend? Does that make sense? Like, how can we make counseling or therapy a trend where people can be like, okay, like, this is something okay to do? And, like, even for our Nigerian folks, like, how can we, like, do that where they be like, ah, okay, ah, oda, this is good. This is good. Like, let me go do this.
Go ahead, Toya C.
I think it's just talking about it and talking about your experiences in therapy. I know for me, my mother got into a really scary car accident, and that is a very common reason why people go to therapy. And so I talked to my mom. I was like, Mom, you know, like, I think you've been through a lot. I think you should really go to therapy. And of course, at first she was like, me, I'm fine. Like, I'm well in Jesus' name. But I was like, Mommy, like, you've been through a lot. Like, come on, go. And she was like, okay, well, when you put it like that, you know, I am in transition. So I sent her the link. I did the work for her, found her all the stuff that she needed. By God's grace, I'm hoping she goes. But I think it's just sharing with people that, you know, I'm in therapy, you're in therapy, let's all be in therapy. Like, let's work on ourselves. The same way when you want to go to the gym, you get a trainer. When you want to work on yourself, get a therapist. Like, something doesn't have to be wrong with you. You just want to better yourself. You want to be the best person you can be for your partner, for your friends, for whoever. You want to be a good parent, right? Imagine all the times y'all cried as kids and wished, like, ugh, you know? You don't want your kids to go through that, so go to therapy.
I definitely agree with Toya C. Like, starting the conversation is the key to having candid and honest conversation around the topic and just debunking things that people think about. Like, the way I thought, okay, people go to therapy for trauma. Toya C was like, people go because they're actually transitioning in life. That just shows me, like, okay, you know, like, dang, you don't have to be, you know, traumatized to go to therapy. Yeah. Like, you just, it just shows, like, having this conversation just helps people learn from professionals like y'all misconception that we might have about therapy. And like, for example, when I've been on Twitter, people be like, my therapist said,
I love that
because I need all the nuggets. Like my therapist said, someone was like, my therapist said that perfectionism is a indicator of anxiety or trauma, one of them. And I screenshot it like,
yeah, I saw it.
That was good. And it was free. So my next question is, how can one like what are the steps to get into therapy? What can we do? Yeah. I know some people's insurance pay for it. So can you talk about that and shed light on it?
Yeah. So there's different ways to find a therapist. You can do like Google, you know, this is my insurance, it's a specific type of therapist. I recommend a lot of people go to Psychology Today. And so you can type in the insurance you have, and then you can type in what you're looking for. If you want a faith-based Christian, you can type in all those little things. And then you type in your zip code and they give a scan of like all the people in your area. There's also things like, you know, Christian Therapy the Finder, there's Therapy for Black Girls. There's all sorts of things that can help you. But I think the most important thing is to just like literally just Google it. I promise you, if you type in your zip code and you type in therapist near me, you will find a bunch of people. And it's just taking the first step. You know, sometimes therapy is like shopping. The first one you may try, they may be a little awkward, be a little stiff. You may not like them. Just try another one. And I promise you'll find someone who can understand you and who you can relate with.
Yeah, I think for our younger people, like college students, listen, there are counseling departments on your campus. I know for me, at a HBCU, Bowie State was a HBCU or it is a HBCU. Morgan State also has one, right? A counseling department, right? Just go to your school website, go to directory and put in counseling. I'm like 95% sure that you will find someone on your campus that they are providing free, free. Yeah. Yeah. Because I didn't find out that Bowie State was, that they offer free counseling until like my senior year of my undergrad or no, not my senior year. Like my junior year, I was like, oh snap.
They're holding out.
I should have been coming here. But low-key, it's all that stuff, they just undermine it, like, because they just be like, oh, okay, like this is how you do your classes and different things of that nature. But, like, yeah, for, like, my students, listen, guys, it's free if you just – and don't be like, well, there's students. No, some of your professors have PhDs in counseling. Like, they study for years, longer than you were born. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they've been studying. So they're willing and they're available to do it. You just gotta find you just gotta want it. Honestly, the question is, do you want to be counseled? So if you do, like, you will find it for free. Because I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends be like, dog, the money. I'll be like, okay, cool, but you still at college, like you're still in college, like you can get this drink for free. So yeah, I recommend doing that.
Okay, so my last question. What are some practical ways one can improve their mental health in their house or in their everyday life, I should say?
Go outside, exercise, eat right, be positive, affirm yourself. I would say start there.
Thank you.
Funny enough, how I make sure my mental processing is good, like make sure my cognitive status is okay, of state of being, is I play a lot of trivia games. So like I would play puzzles, like I would take puzzles, like I take critical thinking games. Like I literally go to the app store and be like critical thinking games, like just so I can work things out myself. And even those times, that's one way. I'm having those games to make sure I'm good, make sure I'm also using my brain consistently. Another thing I do is when something traumatic happens, I am a believer. I do strongly believe in the scriptures and the Holy Scriptures.
Yeah.
So I've read to God, but also there is some sweet gratification having a human being listen to you.
Oh, see? Sure.
Yeah, like sometimes it's just having a tangible person like that you can literally look at. I know God is with me. I believe God is with me, right? Wherever I'm sitting down, I can pull up a seat and talk to him as if he was right there then, and I know he is. Yeah. But just another human being sitting right there, just like that, having that, you know, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah,
exactly. But just yeah, it's just like having that and saying, okay, you know what? I can go to you, and I just be like, sometimes I would go to my brother. Y'all know Bo. I would go to my brother Bo, and I'd be like, "Hey, man, listen. My chest is twice. My chest is just paining me, bro. It's just paining me. I have to talk. So I just go to him. I sit there and I just say everything I need to say. Yeah. And you know what he does? He begins to respond to each point. Mm. And as he begins to respond to each point, I'm like, okay, wow. Like in that, there's some comfort there, and it just accompanies a lot of things. And so finding that person where you can just not just vent to, but have them really actively listen to you and begin to address each point, man, like I'm telling you, your mental being will be good. I'm saying finding wise counsel, not just finding a friend, not just finding a friend that you can talk to. And they just be like, wow, I'm sorry that you're going through that. Let's pray. Okay. Like, prayer is good. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Amen. But at the same time, you still need wise counsel to also speak into your life and be like, hey, like, concerning that, you know, I went through that too. You know, this is something that the Lord taught me to do. This is what you can do. So finding that is really good as well. So I think those are a couple of points that will help our psyche.
That was good. Okay, so before we wrap it up, give anything to share. This is your moment to speak to the generation that's listening to this podcast.
Men, go to counseling.
women go to counseling too. Don't talk about
girls
like that.
Girls all be doing self-help. Girls always trying to better themselves. But men, you ask them how to express their feelings. All they know is angry, sad, and annoyed. That's it. Let's learn how to broaden our vocabulary of our feelings. Let's learn how to express our emotions.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, men go to counseling too.
Thank you.
Men go to counseling. It's true. We do need to go. What I would say is it's okay to be deficient of something. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be mentally deficient, but do not stay in your deficiency. That's what makes a person mad, right? Yeah. Don't stay in your deficiency. Be active and want some along. Have a mindset of I want to be healthy physically and mentally. Yeah. Not just like I want to be physically, like I want my bank account to be physical. No, your mind got to be physical in order to make sure everything around you is functioning, because God wants to pour something into your hand. But if your brain doesn't know how to control your hand, God can't put it in your hand.
That's good.
He can't entrust you to work with what you got because you don't know how to think it out. So, So don't stay in your deficiency. It's okay to be deficient, but proactively search for an answer so you won't have to be deficient.
That's good. That's good.
And follow me on Instagram.
Yes. Go. That's the next one. So where can everybody find you on social media? Say your name one more time and then where they can find you on social media.
My name is Toya C, and you can find me at The Real Toy Story. I think there's an underscore. No, there isn't. The Real Toy Story on Instagram.
You can follow me on Facebook. I'm still on Facebook. I'm an old head. I posted something today. At Daniel Akinribade. Daniel Akinribade. Akin, AKINRIBADE, Akinribade. You can find me on Facebook. On IG is Speak No Evils with an S. Speak No Evils with an S.
And you can find me, or us, yes. I should say, at Ninja Girl Talks on Instagram. Stay tuned for the next podcast. Odabo.
Bye. Oh, Nicky, my boy. Oh, Nicky, my boy.